Today, leaving to go to Austin to go to preacher school, there's been a word on my mind, and that's preacher. So I thought, what an appropriate lesson. David asked me to sit in on his class, or actually fill in his class, I should say. And so I decided to pick this subject. He told me I could pick whichever one I wanted. You know, there's lots of opinions as to what a preacher is. A lot of people have different ideas. What are some of your ideas? Anybody tell me what a preacher is? A messenger of God, a preacher, a teacher, proclaimer of the word. There's lots of opinions as to what a preacher is. You know, I'm a preacher's son. I grew up, my dad is a preacher, and you know, I didn't even know what a preacher was for the longest time. I remember, everybody remember Bill Boyd? Some of us remember Bill Boyd. When Bill was leaving, he said, we were talking, and he said that he was a preacher, and I thought, well, I thought you had a regular job. And he goes, well, I do, but I'm also a preacher. And I said, oh, so you're ordained. And he goes, in his best Bill Boyd, he goes, well, Troy, you don't have to be ordained to be a preacher. And that was news to me. And I called my dad. I said, I thought you were an ordained preacher. You don't have to be ordained. And he said, it's just a word, Troy. And then I thought that to be a preacher, you had to be a Bible scholar. We were just blessed with the presence of Brad Harrob. And I heard several comments from the audience. Man, he's really smart. He's really smart. And then, do some of you remember Tom Holland? Whenever he came and preached the gospel meeting, that man could quote the Bible and just keep quoting the Bible. And I was just amazed at that. I thought you had to be a Bible scholar. Well, you don't have to be any of those things really to be a preacher. And as far as me deciding to be a preacher, basically, the reason I decided to become a preacher is because I read my Bible. I read my Bible, and then after that, I had a million reasons why. One, I wanted to fulfill the Great Commission. I tried doing that on some of the things, and I just felt like there's a little bit more I could do and a little bit more I could do. And after coming back from a mission trip, I just felt convicted that this is what I need to do, that God's given me a talent at public speaking, and so I need to use that talent. Also, I'm tired of all the evil in the world. Every time I turn on the radio, you know, the television, the radio, the newspaper, it's just all this, it just seems like evil. I'm tired of the problems that we're having in the church. And there's just lots and lots of million reasons. You know, being a preacher, I think, is going to be a much more rewarding life than putting a bunch of boxes up in a building somewhere. And so those are just some of the reasons why I chose to be a preacher. Now, as far as going to preaching school, the way that came about was when I was vacillating over that idea of being a preacher, I sought some advice. I called my dad, and I came up to the church here and talked to David and Dan. And David told me that, you know, well, you can be a preacher anytime. I would recommend that you go to school just so you can get a little bit bigger skill set. And so he recommended several different schools. And so preaching school is, believe it or not, there's several of them in the States. They're mostly two-year programs. Most of them are free tuition. And so all you have to do is provide your support. And the reason you provide your support is because the program is so intense that you don't have time to hold down a job. Southwest School of Bible Studies, we have, it'll be 8 a.m. to 4:30, Monday through Friday, for 11 weeks at a time. Four quarters, 11 weeks and a quarter and four quarters a year for 2 years. You basically get a four-year college degree in 2 years' time. So it's a lot of work, and you learn all kinds of stuff. You learn the entire Bible. We're going to go through the entire Bible verse by verse, and we're going to learn Greek and Hebrew, Christian evidences, hermeneutics, Bible geography, archaeology, church history. And then they teach you about public speaking and expository preaching, which is just preaching straight out of the Bible. And one of the reasons why I picked Southwest was, how many remember Al Washington? A lot of people in this room know Al Washington. That's where Al Washington went to school. And I called up Al and said, what do you think? He said, oh, it's a great school. Josh Blackmore went to that school. And then, do you remember John Moore? That's the guy in the Searching for Truth DVD. And he also came here. John Moore's a teacher at Southwest. And it's so funny how God works, because on that week or a few weeks when I was trying to decide if I wanted to change my life and be a preacher, John Moore comes to town, and I have all these other opportunities, and everything just kind of led its way. Now, here's another thing. School starts at Southwest. It starts in August, August the 13th to be exact. By the time I made my decision and everything else, I had missed the deadline to start. And I said, well, it's all right. I'll just start midterm. And they told us, well, no, we don't like you to do that. We want you to start at the beginning, and we go all the way through the Bible. And so basically I had to wait until this August. So I know a lot of y'all might have been asking, what has taken Troy so long to go to preaching school? I mean, how long do you have to wait? And the reason is that they start in August. I missed the first deadline, and which worked out good because I have been spending the last year going around trying to raise support. And I'm about this close to having all my support, but we're still working on it. And there's some wonderful things, several churches that we've got to visit. It's been really fun getting to meet all the different congregations and stuff. And just a little of information, for instance, Suncoast Church of Christ, the way they're going to support me is they're going to set up an account at Southwest and pay for all my books as I need them. So I just every quarter go in and get my books, and then they send them the bill and to take care of it that way. Of course, Palm Beach Lakes is my overseeing congregation. They're providing support, most of my support, and then the different congregations. That's just a little bit about Southwest, just to give you some information. But what is a preacher? That's what we're going to study tonight. And, you know, like we said, there's lots of opinions of what a preacher is, but everybody has a different opinion. But what does God say about it? And that's what we're going to look at. So first thing is, let's look at who is a preacher. Now, if everybody would do me a small favor and just do this, if you will. Just put your fingers out front, stretch. You know, before you do exercise, you got to stretch. Well, we're fixing to really rip through the Bible, so I want your fingers all dexed up. So here we go. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. Who is a preacher? 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle and able to teach and be patient. So first of all, he has to be a servant of the Lord. Now turn over to Ephesians 4, verse 11. I promise I'll put a lot of these in order once we get going here, and it'll all start to flow a little bit easier for you. But Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So he has to be an evangelist and a teacher. And now, if you will, look over in Acts 21, verse 8, just to get this point down a little bit more. This is an interesting passage over in Acts. Acts 21, verse 8. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven to stay with him. Remember Philip? Philip was the preacher who baptized the eunuch. Here we find, that's where we left him last, back in Acts chapter 8. Now here we are several years later, and he's been preaching the whole time. He started out as a deacon, one of the seven that's chosen, and now he's got a house, and he's inviting Paul and his friends in to come in. And so here we see an example of an evangelist. Now another thing that a preacher is, as far as who a preacher is over in 1 Peter, verse 4 and 11. First Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with his ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So therefore, a preacher is also a minister. And that's what I've always heard my dad called, was a minister. And usually a lot of times a preacher will introduce themselves. I'm the minister at the church, local church that they're talking about. And then who else is a preacher? Well, he's a preacher. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel. To whom in Rome also. A preacher comes from the Greek word charax. I think I'm saying that. Kerux or charax. Yes, ma'am.
What is an ordained minister?
An ordained minister is, according to the Bible, is basically in that time they would lay their hands on them and just say that is basically saying that we ordain you. Help me out with that a little bit. I'm not real certain on that word.
But, well, I've heard the Christian church says you have to be an ordained,
Well, we're going to by the time we get done with this lesson, you're going to realize, you're going to see we don't have to be. Okay? So it comes from the word kyrix, which means what you were saying, Freddie, a public proclaimer. And in the Greek, that means somebody who had the authority to go out and talk about the king's laws. He's not a pastor. You know, a lot of people sometimes think a preacher is a pastor. He's not a pastor. Does anybody know what a pastor is, what that word means? An elder. He's a shepherd, a bishop. That's a different job completely. And the Bible talks about it as a different job. So for a preacher to call himself a pastor, or for somebody to call a preacher a pastor, is not really true. And, you know, a preacher does help shepherd over the flock by teaching them stuff, but that's not his job. A preacher, a pastor, is an elder. Also, you hear sometimes of the great reverend. Well, that is just an earthly name, because if you're revering someone, then you're putting yourself above Christ. And we should never put yourself above Christ, because a preacher is a servant of Christ. There have been preachers that have been elders, yes. And also there are elders who are preachers. Matter of fact, at Suncoast, they've been looking for a preacher for a long time. They have one now, thankfully. But several of the elders would preach. Peter was an elder. Peter was a preacher. I like to think of Peter as the first preacher, other than Jesus, of course. So preaching school, the question here, does one need to go to school to be a preacher? Well, the answer is no. You don't have to go to school. You don't have to be ordained, and we're going to look at that a little bit more. Because basically, anybody can do what we've looked at in these verses. And so, you don't have to go to school. Now, preaching school is great, and one should go if you're convicted to do so, because it does give you a set of tools, a set of skills that you can use, but it's absolutely not required. And remember, you got to always keep in mind, what's the purpose? The purpose of being a preacher is to please God, not man. So if you're going to preach in school just so you can get the accolades of man, then you're going for the wrong reason. And so that's where one of those things come in. Also, you know, Belgrade, a little congregation in Belgrade and Okeechobee, they don't have a preacher. Did you know that, and I'm sure you've been seeing in our bulletin, that there are several men in this congregation that go over every Sunday and preach? Just ordinary men. Some are deacons, some are elders, some are just members of the church here, and they go over and preach. Some are what?
Teens.
Kings?
Teens.
Teens, that's right, that's right. Shea Brown goes over. So anyone can preach. All right, so we know who a preacher is. Let's look at the qualifications of a preacher. So if anybody can be a preacher, what qualifications do you have to have? So let's first turn to Acts. Now, what I've done in this time, I've got everything in order. So we're going to start at Acts and end up over in Timothy. So Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Somebody read that aloud for me, please. Continually to prayer. So a preacher, one of the qualifications is he has to be a prayerful person. Now, if you will, turn to Acts 20, verse 22 through 24. And if somebody would read that, please. Verse 22 through 24. So it sounds like he's about to be put in chains and other tribulations, but he's not afraid. So the The qualification of a preacher is he has to be courageous. And now let's go to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. If somebody will read 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2. Now, some translations have the word found faithful, trustworthy and faithful. And so there are several verses that you'll find, but another qualification of a preacher is that he has to be faithful. Now, if you will, turn over to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. Now, there's a lot on this one, so I'm going to read this. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might be all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker with it with you. Do you not know that those who run the race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run this, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and bring it to subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And so just through all this, you can see that you must be an obedient follower of Christ, because he's being an example, and he's doing the things Christ-like, becoming all things to all men, so that he can save some. You must also be a diligent worker. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And so he labored and labored more abundantly than all. A preacher must also be sincere. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So needs to be loyal to the truth, as in Galatians 1:8, where Paul talks about, if anyone perverts the gospel of the truth, let him be accursed. And that let no man preach another gospel. So he remains loyal to the truth. Another example is he must be loyal to God. 1 Timothy 6. 3 through 12. Now, we're going to spend a lot of time in the letters of Timothy, because let me tell you, if you want to learn how to be a preacher, just spend time reading 1 and 2 Timothy. Because Timothy was a young man who was growing up in the way of the Lord, and Paul was training him, and he gives him all kinds of advice and teachings on how to become a preacher. So this is a great place to learn. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with content is great gain. And so he needs be loyal to God. And then also in 1 Timothy verse 4, we learn about that you need to be an example. Present yourself worthy. Be an example. You know, that's an interesting part about being a preacher. You know the phrase, practice what you preach, right? So it's easy to stand up and preach and preach and preach, but it's more difficult to practice that. One example, for instance, sometimes a preacher will He'll even do something like, actually I'm going down the wrong one. That's a different one I was thinking. Here's the other story to tell you. There was a looking at the wrong part of my notes. You know, that's the bad thing about cut and paste, is that you can put something in the wrong spot. And that's what just happened to me right there, because that's not the story I was going to tell. It's in my notes, but I remember it. There was a shopkeeper and a salesman who was selling fountain pens. And he spent hours convincing the shopkeeper to place an order for fountain pens. And so the shopkeeper said, all right, fine, I'll take 500, an order of 500. So the fountain pen salesman said, great. He pulls out his pad, starts writing the order down, and all of a sudden the shopkeeper says, whoop, cancel that order, and turns around and starts talking to one of his customers. And so the salesman was a little bit upset, finally gathered up his stuff and left, pretty unhappy. Later, one of his employees said, why did you cancel that order in midstream after you just told the guy you'd take it? He goes, the guy spent hours talking to me about fountain pens, and then he placed his order with a lead pencil. So practice what you preach. 1 Timothy 5:22 says that we are to live a pure life. The word pure is from the Greek word agnos. I don't know my Greek yet. It's one of the reasons I'm going to preaching school, so I can learn how to say these Greek words. But it means to be properly clean, that is, innocent, modest, perfect, chaste. And I looked up the word chaste, and it means not indulging in unlawful sexual activity. So a preacher is to have a pure life. And we've all read about, the sinful nature of priests in the Catholic Church, and even within the church here, within the kingdom, there's been examples of brethren preachers falling from grace. But being involved in sexual activity, it's a shame. But whenever you're bombarded every day on TV and radio and everything else, and you're trying to preach against it, it's just one more of Satan's snares. I know a couple of preachers that have fallen. That's not really a good term to use, but have, what do you call that? Basically, sinned, yeah, It really actually built my faith up, because I thought, you know what? If Satan can get to that guy who I thought was one of the strongest people I've ever known, he's going to have no problem with some of us and me.
I think things like that are going to make people like you work harder to make the preaching, the name of a preacher be more effective, because it's been tarnished so much.
Yes.
Now you've got a harder job to do.
I do have a harder job to do. But like I said, it builds my faith up, because I realize how powerful Satan is. I heard a sermon on the radio about you cannot stand toe-to-toe with Satan and think you're going to win. You just can't do it.
I think what that ought to make us do is be so much more willing to trust in God and trust in the Bible.
Amen.
Than trust in men.
Amen. Amen.
And if you put your faith in the preacher, when he fails, what have you got to trust in?
Exactly. Did everybody hear what Tracy had to say? Very good point. Is that no? A preacher, we have to put our trust in God, not in man. We have to, because a preacher is just a man. And a man has sin. All men have sinned, according to the Bible. And so a preacher is just a man. And sometimes we think of preachers as being more holy, more scriptural, but they're just a man. And so it proves to us that we need to put our faith in God, and we need to stay in the Word, and we need to flee. You know, that's what happened. Potiphar's wife is flee. He ran out the door. And so that's what we have to do in those type of cases, is just flee when we get in those scenarios. Now, not only that's the pure life, but he has to be meek and gentle, according to 2 Timothy 2, verse 22 and 26, where it says, flee also youthful lust. Interesting, we were just talking about that. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And so, also, we need to be willing to suffer. Preachers need to be willing to suffer, according to 2 Timothy 4:5. So with all these things being said, what do you think? Can any Christian meet these qualifications? Oh, yes, they can. If you're a good Christian, you can meet these qualifications. So basically, you can be a preacher. I mean, yes, everybody looks at those and go, wow, that's a long list. That'd be pretty hard to do, but it's not. That's part of being a Christian. It's part of a Christian life. Let's look at some examples. We know what the who a preacher is, and we know what the qualifications of a preacher is according to the Bible. Let's look at some of the examples. I like to think of one of the first preachers in the kingdom as Simon Peter. In Acts 2, we read about Simon whenever he was standing there on the day of Pentecost and said, "All the rise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord." So he would preach the first sermon. And then, remember Stephen? In Acts 7, verse 51, when he stood in front of his accusers and said, "You stiff-necked people, you crucified Christ, you need to be baptized." Hey, that was a pretty brave preacher. Talk about courageous. And his preaching career was real short. And then there's Apollos. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one?" Now, did anybody remember who Apollos is? Look over at Acts 18. In case you don't remember who this Apollos character is, we've got him being called a minister. In Acts 18, verse 24, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, and they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." And so here's an example of a preacher who was preaching and was preaching the baptism of John. He didn't know the whole story yet, but he was preaching, it says, accurately. And then some people pulled him aside and taught him more in the ways of the Lord. And so there's another type of preacher. That's there. He Priscilla and Aquila was the first preaching school. How about that? And then, of course, you can't think about preaching without thinking about the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy 1:11, "To which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles." And then we talked about, and I told you to look at Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:2, where it talks about Timothy being a preacher. And then also in 1 Thessalonians 3:2, "And sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith." So now we looked at who a preacher is, the qualifications of a preacher, and some biblical examples. So exactly what does a preacher do? What is his job description? You know, a lot of people have different opinions on that. Actually, his description is quite simple, but it's very large and vital in its scope. And it's sad, but a lot of people think that a preacher is simply an employee of the church, that he's a deacon-type servant and he's a caretaker of the church property. And I've even heard some people say, you know, "We pay the preacher and we tell him what to do." And it's a sad thing, but that's actually a way that a lot of people think, especially in some of the smaller churches back out like where my dad lives in Texas and things like that, is they just see him as a church employee. And although 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14, says, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they," and there's that word again, "ordained that they which preach the gospel should live in the gospel," it does not make them a church employee. A preacher is a preacher. A herald of good news. So a preacher's work, what is a preacher supposed to do? Tracy, that's the easy one. Preach. He's supposed to preach, evangelize. We're going to spend a lot of time in Timothy here. Let's go back over there. We're going to look at a bunch of verses right here in Timothy. We won't jump all around except just in these. So 2 Timothy 4:2, one of my favorite verses. "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching." It's that long-suffering is the hard part. But preach the word. So a preacher, his job is to preach. But his job is also to teach. Jump back a couple of chapters there in verse 2. And things which you've heard me among many... Am I in the right spot here? Now, 2:2. The things that you have heard from among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So you teach teachers. Self-propagating. That's the way the church was designed, the way God set up the church. And also, in order to be able to teach, you have to study. You know, that's one of the things I love the most about teaching. I mean, even this lesson right here, I learned more about being a preacher in the last few hours, or I should say days, of putting this lesson together than I did even before studying on my own. If you really want to get to know the Bible, go teach. Because you have to prepare your lessons and get everything ready. I mean, all those who have taught in here, I know that you can agree to that. You really learn a lot of the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15, using it. Another thing of preacher's work, believe it or not, is avoiding strife. This was interesting, but look over in right there in verse 23 of the second chapter. And he tells Timothy, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Now, strife is fighting and quarreling. It's interesting that that's a work of a preacher, but that's what we have listed here. And he's also to be a giving person. 1 Timothy 6, verse 18. 1 Timothy 6, verse 18 says, let them do good that they be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. Now I know as I'm listing off these works and these things about these preachers, are you getting an image in your head of some preachers that you know that do these things? I know I am. I know that I do. It is also a reminder. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. And if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be good ministers of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. And so to remind, the King James says, put the brethren in remembrance of these things. And that's what we're talking about with reminding. And then also, a preacher is a church builder. And that is, he builds up the church. In Titus 1:5, it says, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shalt set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. Now, by the time, brethren, you start ordaining elders, you have built a church up. And that's a long process. I'm learning a lot about being a missionary. And sometimes a church can grow relatively quick. When I say relatively quick, within a matter of years, of course. And then sometimes it takes a long time, as much as 40 years, before a church will grow to the point, and sometimes even longer, to the point of having elders. And so a preacher is also a church builder. He's also supposed to speak, exhort, and rebuke. Titus 2:15 says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. And rebuke is to scold in a sharp way. And then he's also to warn. Acts 20, verse 31 says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And then also pleading, as in Zephaniah 2:3, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth who have upheld his justice, seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And so, these are all the types of work that a preacher does. So is any Christian capable of doing these things? Absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody in this room can do all the things that we've talked about. Everybody in this room meets these qualifications, and you are some of these people that we've listed and talked about. So, if you can be a preacher, what makes a great preacher? Anybody can be a preacher. That's true. But what makes a great preacher? Well, there's one thing that I have learned already, that preaching truth on all subjects and speaking truth with love is what makes a great preacher. Let's look over in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Well, we already looked at one of the ones. Let's see here. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. And then the best verse is Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. I've learned several lessons in the last year or so of going over to Belglade and preaching and things like that, and that is stick with the Bible. Preach this right here, not what is up here. And it seems like every time I preach exactly what's in here, that's whenever people are like, wow, that was a great sermon. And if I preach what's up here, you don't hardly hear anything. So preaching the truth. And I've heard lots of comments about truth, and I love that. And I'll tell you that the gospel meeting that we had with Sam Jones was just outstanding with truth. And so truth is the important thing. Yes, ma'am. Oh, very good. 2 Timothy, what was it, 2:15? 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what makes a great preacher, is preaching truth. Preaching the truth. And, you know, there has to be a proper balance. It's easy to stand up and go, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But how about the love? You know, there's Dan Jenkins has already... That's one of the things that's been great about this past year is I've been the intern here at Palm Beach Lakes, and I've gotten to sit in on elders' meetings. I've got to bend the preacher's ears and also pick their brains, and I've learned all kinds of things. And one of the things that Dan taught me, he said, it's real easy to talk about the fruits of the flesh, you know, to preach on that. It's more difficult to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. Because what are the fruits of the Spirit? Joy, peace, love. And to do a sermon on those subjects is much more difficult. And usually most preachers will want to go to the negative side. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And so there needs to be a balance of that. We do need that, but we need to also be preaching about the fruits of the Spirit. And it's easier, we talked about this a little bit, it's easier to preach 10 sermons than it is to live just one. Isn't that the truth? And so it should be reflected in the life of the preacher who's serving his fellow man with a sincere heart. You know, you can preach truth, you can say thou shalt not, but you have to do it with love. That's what makes a great preacher. And all the while, pleasing God and not man. So you have to practice what you preach. There was this one preacher who decided that he was going to put together a sermon about cussing. Because he... was good, and he knew a particular person, and he wrote this sermon with that particular person in mind. And yes, I've learned that preachers do that. They will write sermons with particular people in mind. Usually what happens, though, is when they get there on Sunday to preach the sermon, that particular person's not there. But this preacher wrote a sermon about cussing, and he had a particular person in mind, and boy, he just ripped into them. After the sermon was over, after the worship service was over, he was standing at the back of the church as people were walking out, and this one lady walked up. She goes, "I will never darken the door of this. I will never darken this door again." And he was like, "Whoa!" And she walked out the door, and this other person walks up and goes, "I can't believe that you would embarrass me like that in front of the whole congregation," and walked out the door. Another person came up and said, "Man, preacher, if I'd have known you was in hearing distance, I'd have watched what I said." And then another person comes up and says, "You know, I really wish you would have come to me in private instead of saying this out." So finally, the person who you've been aiming the remarks to says, "Boy, that's what I call a sermon. You really told them today, you preacher." Another one is a preacher was visiting a home in a congregation, and it looked like somebody was home. And so he walks up to the door, and he's knocking on the door, trying to get their attention, and nobody would come to the door. So he pulled out his business card, and on his business card, he wrote Revelations 3:20, and he stuck it in the door. Well, at Sunday, in the offering plate, he got his business card back, and it had Genesis 3:10 written on it. And so he pulled out his Bible. Revelations 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And Genesis 3:10 says, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, for I was naked." So what is the charge of a preacher? We've talked about, do you have to go to school? Can anybody be a preacher? Do you meet the qualifications? Brethren, we all are part of that because of Mark 16, 15, 16. This is one of our memory verses. Let's see if we all remember it. Mark 16, 15, and 16. Mark's very good. Some of us kind of trailed off, but you know the part, go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. So that is the charge of a preacher. So preaching Christ means that we are preaching the authority of God's word. We're preaching man's need for the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection, against sin and evil, the one true church, the promise of God, and the destiny of the disobedient. And that's basically what it is to be a preacher. I like what is written in here in this this book, and I know that some of you just picked this up. Matter of fact, this lesson, a lot of the stuff I got from the lesson was out of this book. This is the hard copy, the Ready Reference for Growing Christians. And I like what they put on this lesson at the very back. And I'll close with this. Why I will not quit as a preacher. And this is going to work for me. This is why I like it. I will not quit, burn out, that is. I will encourage others to preach as often as possible because Jesus did not quit when Judas was a thief. Jesus did not quit when Peter was fickle. Jesus did not quit living right when brethren were unforgiving, unkind, and hateful. Jesus did not quit leading, guiding, teaching when he had an adulterous woman, unscrupulous businessmen, or a gang of pharisaical hypocrites. Jesus finished the work, John 19:30. And so that's the charge of a preacher. Thank you for your attention.